نشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له. الحمد لله رب العالمين. الحمد لله الوالي الكريم. وصلى الله على أنبياء أجمعين والمسيح والمحسي والمجدد لمن مرسلين. أما بعد. Are we not the bearers of witness that nothing would exist if Allah didn't create it? And that He is alone and has no part. And that all gratitude is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the sustainer of all the boundless universe. All gratitude is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the generous eternal friend. And send salutations of Allah on all of His prophets and His apostles. And on the Messiah, the anointed one. And on the Mahdi, the guide. And on the Mujaddid, the reformer. Which was all sent from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We send greetings and we send peace throughout the boundless universe to all. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh.
The man of the hour, airing 7 days a week at 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on WGAG Radio.
This prophesied in a previous quote, Genesis, the 400-year bondage of the Amorites will expire in the year 2000 AD, but only if we are successful in our mission of raising the 144,000. Since this is prophesied, it is not certain that prophecy will be fulfilled because it says here, but only if we are successful in our mission. I thought that if a prophecy... Since it's prophesied that it should be no doubt that the prophecy should be fulfilled.
You know what I noticed about that statement? Everybody asks about the end, but they don't ask about the beginning. It was also mentioned in our books that it was prophesied that the world would end in 1970 and that the four winds were going to fold, but that there was an intercession from the seraphim to hold back the four angels and the four winds until y'all are sealed in your head. That's also in the book of Revelation. Nobody seems to ask about how prophecy was altered on y'all's behalf. You see? But y'all always ask on how will it not be altered to y'all's disadvantage. You follow what I'm saying? And what they got to realize is that in the Holy Quran, in the 110th Surah of the Quran, it came as Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Iza ja'a. The first word, Iza alif, the alif, means if as well as when. Most translators say when the help comes, but Iza in front of a past tense, ja'a, can be if or when. Iza ja'a nasrullahi wal fath. If the aiders of Allah come, that means if you raise the Nasrullahi, 144,000, if you raise them, what will happen? But before they tell you what would happen, they tell you what to look for. وَرَأَيْتَ النَّاسِ يَدْخُلُونَ فِي دِينَ اللَّهِ أَفْوَجًا إِذَا جَ نَصْرُ اللَّهِ وَالْفَتْحِ. When or if the aid and the victorious opening happens, when Ansar Allah comes, وَأَنْ رَأَيْتَ النَّاسِ يَدْخُلُونَ, and you see people entering into Deen Allahi Afwajan in groups, like y'all are now beginning to take Shahada in groups in this latter day. Then it says what? فَسَبَّحْ بِحَمْدِ رَبِّكَ. So then it is time for you to glorify Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by showing hamd, gratitude. Start worshiping five times a day, in other words, to show your gratitude. Right? فَسَبَّحْ بِحَمْدِ رَبِّكَ وَاسْتَغْفِرُهُ. And you must ask Allah to forgive you for your idolatry and your fornications and abominations and seek His forgiveness. إِنَّهُ كَانَ تَوَّابًا. Because He's the only one that has the power to forgive you when you turn to Him for repentance. This is what that section is about. This was the last revelation that came to Rasulullah Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The last thing, the Quran, this is the last revelation in itself as a whole surah. It came to him. And it was speaking about this latter day when this would happen. when and or if you do that. Now, here's the reality of it, though. The Nasrullahi has come. The Ansarullah mission is here, and the victorious seal has been opened, and truth, like Daniel spoke about in Daniel's 9, something was sealed away, has been revealed to y'all people. Y'all know almost everything y'all need to know. Y'all got so many facts. But the next statement is, وَرَأَيْتَ النَّاسِ يَدَّخُلُونَ فِي الدِّينَ اللَّهِ أَفْوَجًا. Next is, are y'all entering into? Yadakhu, the word dakhala means to enter inside something. To go inside, dakhala, idkhul. If you was knocking at my door, and I said, min bil bab, who's at the door? And you said, this is Ali. I said, idkhul, come into my house. You understand? The same word, del, kha, lam, dakhala, to enter in. But when the Quran makes this statement, وَرَأَيْتَ النَّاسِ يَدْخُلُونَ فِي الدِّينَ اللَّهِ أَفْوَجًا. All of a sudden, y'all don't understand that part. See, y'all don't, well, I don't understand this coming in part. Ansar Allah community is here. We are proving that now that the truth has come, that all things are perishing. Because all the other Sunni Muslim organizations and all the other groups and are fading away, and the only thing that's still standing here from the 60s is us. Only ones that are still putting out new messages, new pamphlets, the new truths, the new facts is us. Jimmy Swag and all these people are falling to the wayside. All the stuff you believed in, the Jehovah's Witness, everybody's falling. We're still the ones standing here telling you all the truth. Correct? True or false? This is a fact. Now we are here. Are you as Nas? The word Nas means people. It says, and when you see this, what are Aka and Nas? And you see the people, what will they be doing? They will be coming in. يَدْخُلُونَ فِي دِينَ اللَّهِ أَفْوَجًا. Joining in. It didn't say Deen al-Islam. It said Deen al-Lahi. It didn't say join any school of thought or any group of people or visit the mosque just on Friday. It means you're going to be preoccupied full time. This is Deen Allah. This is not Deen al-Islam. Deen al-Islam you can do as a Sunni, as a Shia, as an Ahmadiyya, as a Wahhabi, as an Ikhwani, as a Bilalian. But when you enter يَدْخُلُونَ فِي دِينَ اللَّهِ, this is something you have made it your business. You're going to drop your net and become fishes of men. If you want to cut off all things pertaining to the world, this physical world, and start aspiring for the world to come. If you want to take off the garb of unrighteousness and cloak yourself in the garb of righteousness and purity and be out propagating in the name of your Creator and asking to forgive us for our stupidity or the things or the times when you worshiped Jesus and thought he was God, or you listen to some Maharaji and followed some yogi fanatic guy, or you went and read some esoteric book and started studying Kabbalians and Kabbalas and a whole bunch of stuff that he didn't tell you to study, you're going to ask him to forgive you for that. Because he's the only one that has the power to accept repentance. You understand what I'm saying? But no, y'all recognize Nasrullah being here. But when it comes down to يَدْخُلُونَ فِي دِينَ اللَّهِ, y'all have all kinds of excuses for not joining in. Then, when it says فَسَبَّحْ بِحَمْدِ رَبِّكَ, and so it's time when that happens for you to start glorifying Allah, that means making your 5 daily prayers, constantly praying to the Heavenly Father and glorifying Him. How many people in there make their 5 daily prayers every day, from Salatul Fajr all the way to Salatul Isha, every day? Or do you have some excuse? At my job, I can't do it. At my work, I can't do this. I have to take care of it. I have to do this here. I'm out in the street all the time. What did Jesus tell His followers? Drop their nets and become fishes of men. That means cut off those things so that you can devote yourself full time to the service of the Heavenly Father and raising His lost seed. So when you get to that part, فَسَبَّحْ بِحَمْدِ رَبِّكَ وَاسْتَغْفِرُهُ, and seek out His forgiveness, because إِنَّهُ كَانَ تَوَّابًا. Because surely He is the only one that has the power to accept your repentance. We cut off. We shut down. We don't want to hear that side of it. We only want to hear the beautiful side of it, like the Revelation said. We like the doctrine when it's sweet in our mouth, but not when it's bitter in our belly. It's sweet in our mouth, but we out in the corner, and we blowing all this doctrine, and we sound heavy to our friends. But then when someone says, are you going to dress in white? Are you going to put back on the garb of righteousness? Are you going to enter? Right? تَدْخُلْ فِي جَامِعَةُ أَنْصَارَ اللَّهِ. Are you going to enter in to the Ansar Allah community, or are you going to stay out here on the streets and profess to be one of them and walk around in a state of hypocrisy and making up all kinds of excuses why you're not coming home yet and why you're not doing anything? Which is it? Are you going in like Jesus, or are you going to pull a Nicodemus? Remember, Nicodemus never got back around Jesus until he got smart enough to realize to get Judas's body. But the only time he would come to Jesus was at night and talk to Jesus so nobody would see him. But he wouldn't walk with Jesus, sleep with Jesus, and break bread with Jesus and be in amongst his disciples. Yet he wanted to classify himself one of Jesus's sacred disciples. But he wasn't there when the stuff hit the fan because he never entered into the deed with him. You follow what I'm saying? So to answer to the sister's question, the prophecy can be altered. It was altered on y'all's behalf in 1970. Otherwise, the four winds would have folded. It was altered that you may be saved. The Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would save you. Now, what do you do with it? You turn from it, or do you work with it?
Another thing, you know, my mind was gone, but I tapped in a little bit about, you know, when brothers were speaking about as far as the last day and so on and so forth. My learning, and from what I believe, not by my opinion or by what I feel or anything like that, there's some hadith to say everyone will have a taste of fire.
Let me interrupt you for 1 minute. It's a good point you're trying to reach at. First of all, the most important thing is, my brother, is these translators played a trick on most people. In the Arabic language, when it says kun fayakun, it doesn't mean be and it is. The word kun from yakunu, kana, means to exist, from kawin, cosmos.
Mm.
And fire is from the word fiya, to come
all
into.
Right.
Wait just a minute, so you'll understand. Because that's a very important word. When Allah Ta'ala says kun fayakun, what that means is when Allah wants to bring a thing into existence, He says, kun fayakun, exist, and into existence it comes. It has nothing to do with the work or the amal of men. What we do is we take a word and think it has to do with the way we do a thing. It has nothing to do with the way we act, how we make salah, it has nothing to do with how we dress. That has to do with bringing things into existence, new creation, kun fayakun. So it's not as easy to say, well, if Allah just wants a thing to happen, it happens. And then when it comes down to numbers, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does deal in numbers. He's very specific in the Quran that when Rasulullah alayhi salatu wasalam was under the oppression by the tribe of Quraysh who was coming out against him in the Battle of Badr, that they had 315 followers and he sent down 1,000 angels to assist them. You follow that?
Yeah, all right, but that's Ismaili, if I may, no due respect, if I may interrupt you. My point is not so much numbers or anything like that, but what I know is that, you know, Allah is going to determine how, you know, how many people is going to make it. You see, because they are those who behave fitting to go to Jahannam until they are but an arm's length away, and they end up going to paradise, just as they are those who behave fitting to go to paradise until they are but an arm's length away and they end up going to Jahannam.
This is hadith. This is
okay,
not
yes.
This
all
is
right.
Not Quran.
If I may continue.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay. I love what you brothers are doing.
Let me interrupt you. It's going on and on and on, and certain things you're throwing in is a difference in philosophy. We have to clear it so we don't leave the audience. The Holy Quran specifically points out to Rasulullah in the 106th surah that he's only dealing with one group of people here, not everybody in the world. It's like Sunni Muslims have been brainwashed and thinking. He says in that Quran, Le'ila fi Quraysh. He singles out a tribe of people called the Quraysh and says he's going to give them thousands of protections for this one family, the Quraysh family, which is a Hashemi family, which is the sons of Ishmael and Abraham, which is the black seed from Noah. Because Allah does say in the Quran that Noah's family and Imran's family is above other nations of the world. So in the Quran, Allah does specifically point out that the black seed is superior to the white seed himself by mentioning Imran's family, which were black, which is Miriam and Isa and Musa and Ibrahim and Noah, were the pure seed of the Hamites. And in the Holy Quran, when he speaks of the creation of Adam, he uses the word Hamin Fafalin, which is the same Arabic word as the name Ham for black. I created Adam of Hamin Fafalin, black mud. He specifically points out this. And though when I say it, it's racism. And when the white Arabs teach you all that the Prophet Muhammad is white in the Hadith, that's called history. You see, when I do it, it's a racist thing. When they do it,
like
it's
Malcolm.
For history. But I want to point out to you that in this Quran, Allah says, "La'ilah fi Quraysh." That he's setting out to send thousands of protections on the tribe of Quraysh. إِلَىٰ فِيهِمْ رَحْمَةَ الشِّتَاءِ وَالصَّيْفِ. That he's going to protect them as they mount their horses to set out on this journey. Now, he speaks about them having a journey that will take them through the winter and the summer, and that they will be in a place where they will have to turn to Mecca. Listen why he does that. He says, فَلْيَعْبَدُوا رَبَّ هَذَا الْبَيْتِ أَتَعَمَهُ مِنْ جُوِنْ وَعَمَنَهُ مِنْ خَلْفِ. Right? الَّذِي, he puts in there. Now, what that means is, so I want you people to worship your sustainer at this house, هَذَا الْبَيْتِ, meaning at Mecca. Allah Ta'ala was telling us that he knew that we would be out of our home. We wouldn't be at Mecca. He wants us to worship there. He said, listen, فَلْيَعْبَدُ from Abdu, from Surah Al-Kafiru, when Rasulullah points out the kafir from the mu'min, he says, فَلْيَعْبَدُ رَبَّ هَذَا الْبَيْتِ. I want you all to worship your sustainer Allah at this house, at Mecca. الَّذِي أَتْعَمَهُ مِنْ جُعَيْنِ وَعَمَنَهُ مِنْ خَلْفِ. The one who fed you when you were hungry and who gave to you when you were thirsty. And why he's talking about feeding us from hunger and thirst, he's going back to Nabi Ibrahim wa zawjatahu Hagar. His wife Hagar was put out of the house of Abraham and went into the land of Faran, which is later called Mecca or Becca, and they were fed with the well of Zamzam, and Allah Ta'ala provided for them with food through the angel Jibreel. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. This, whether y'all want to accept it or not, in the Arabic is very clearly speaking to a specific race of people. And in Quran, Allah says, I myself have created you into tribes, and I have made you into families that you will know about each other. He uses ya'arrafuna. He doesn't use ya'lamuna, to know each other like the translators. He uses the word arafa, to know about a thing, not to alama, to learn a thing. I want you to know the difference in each other. Ya'arrafuna. He says, and the best amongst you is he who's the most loyal. Now, that's not race at all. That's tribe and family. That has nothing to do with different races. The word for race is Iraq. That word race is not there. Just tribes and families. Who are they talking about? Nabi Ibrahim. They're saying to Abraham, Abraham, you are going to be broken up into, because you are the imam of all the Muslims. Remember that. The Quran says that. And you named us Muslim before Muhammad was here. And you're the father of tribes and families. Israel and Ishmael, which comes down into Kedah, which is a family, and the Quraysh, and which goes down to Judah, which is the family of Ben Israel, which goes down to Isa. You follow? And the best between Israel and Ishmael and the Midian is he who is the most righteous. And out of them came Rasulullah, who was black, blacker than you and I, a pure seed. Though the white Arabs have the Sunnis brainwashed and thinking he was white, he was a black man. It's a historical fact that he was black. There's drawings of him as black. And they have them subliminally worshiping them. And if I bring it up, I automatically become a racist. But in their hadith that these white Arabs put together, and they say the armpits of the Prophet Muhammad is white, his face was pink, he had a white beard, they give black people an inferiority complex when all Sudanese have records of their descendancy charts directly from name to name from all of the family of Rasulullah. And we know for a fact that he was a dark, dark Arab, a black man, not a red or pink. He didn't look like Gaddafi. He didn't look like Ayatollah Khomeini. He didn't look like any of the people from Saudi. He looked like the people from Kuwait, the dark ones. He looked like the people from Oman, Qatar, and he was definitely a Sudanese. Go ahead, you have the forum.
Okay. Yes, that's true. Even Prophet Isa, may Allah be pleased with him, was of African descent. Okay, and it's also true that as far as if you want to get, I don't know if they call it something about the study of the past, the people that be digging up fossils and whatnot.
Anthropology.
Anthropology, you know, if you want to get anthropology.
Yeah, sure.
The earliest signs of existence was found in Ethiopia, Africa, dating back millions of years
right.
ago.
On the borderline of Sudan, you're right. The Rashada,
long before
the white man was even here.
The Europeans even came on the scene.
You're right.
100%. This is a known factor. But my point is that...
Let me ask you a question. Do you think that white people as a whole, are just the black people in the world, knowing that slavery just got abolished in Mecca in 1968. You know that, right? That they just abolished slavery in Mecca in 1968. Did you know that?
Oh, I also know that the Arabs, that's what they're getting to, that they enslaved Africans,
yeah,
long before the Europeans even came on the scene, if that's what they're getting at.
No, I wasn't. I wasn't getting that at all. Because the original Arabs that they're speaking about being enslaved was the family of the Prophet Muhammad called the Fatimites. And Ali and Hassan was the family of Muhammad when Rasulullah refused to let Abu Bakr Siddiq, who the Sunnis call the first Khalifa, marry his daughter Fatima, and then the same day gave her to Ali, Emir al-Mu'minin, his uncle's son, Abu Talib's son. The white Arabs became angry at the black Arabs, and when Rasulullah Muhammad died, alayhi salatu wasalam, while Ali and Fatima and the rest of them and Bilal and them were performing his janazah, Abu Bakr and Al-Abbas and them was in another city voting for who should be the successor, and they wasn't even at his funeral. And then when they put Abu Bakr for deacon because he had the most money and he was a light Arab, Aisha's father, who made her own haditha, right? Then they turned on the family of Fatima and Ali and them and Hassan and Hussein and killed them, and then chased the family out of Arabia up into Egypt. Why, if you go to Cairo where the University of Al-Azhar is, there's a mosque called Masjid al-Hussein there. They chased the family up there, and then they moved down into Sudan.
Referring to the autobiography of Malcolm X,
yes.
You know, when he went on his hajj,
yes,
he said that he had, you know, and if this statement that he said isn't any good, you need to take down that picture I see that you have, but he said that he slept, ate, and drank out of cups of people whose hair was the blindest of blonde.
You know, the next thing I'm going to tell you is going to surprise you. The next thing I'm going to tell you is going to surprise you.
What, that there was a change of mind?
No, I was there with him.
Yeah?
I was on Hajj. At Jidda with him. I am one of the Sudanese brothers. When he says in the autobiography, there was a short, dark-skinned guy with slanted eyes who was giving me all my advice, a young man. He's talking about me. I was the one there. And Malcolm X never, ever made 90% of the statements that appeared in that autobiography.
Is that right?
He got mad at the Honorable Elijah Muhammad because his own brother, not Elijah Muhammad's brother, Malcolm X's brother, wanted to kill him because of things that he let Wallace D. Muhammad put in his head against the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. It wasn't the Honorable Elijah Muhammad who was trying to kill Malcolm X. It was Malcolm X's own blood brother. And I have this on videotape where you can hear him talking about himself wanting to kill his own brother because he should know better than to speak out against the messenger, because he said he should know that if the messenger wanted him dead, he would have been dead by now. But Malcolm X fell victim to what he accused other black political leaders of, and that was letting a white man tell him what to think. You follow that?
What was his real feeling?
Go ahead.
No, it's pertaining to the
issue. You're right. Go ahead.
What was his real feeling about European people?
He said, and I quote, and you can check it. He said, when I got over there, I saw what they would call white people in America praying and being humble. But I knew that they were not white people no more. They were Muslims. And if the white people in America could become Muslims, then we would have a peaceful world. But notice how he phrased that. He said, I saw them over there, and they no longer look like white people, though they had blonde hair and blue eyes. They didn't look like white people. They just became Muslim. And if, he said, the white people in America will become Muslim, then they would also drop that racist thing. But he also, being a student of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, was confronted with a question that is, can the devil be reformed? And Honorable Elijah Muhammad said, no, not nowadays. And this is what Malcolm was saying.
Agreed.
And I agree with you. If all the white people in the world were to become Muslims and serve Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and make their constitution the Holy Quran and make their capital the holy city of Mecca, then the world would be at peace. But the question again there is if. And I know, and you know, that Adnan Khashoggi left Islam to become an American. He was an Arab.
Would the Ansar community accept the European Shahada?
I've said 100,000 times that I would accept a European Shahada. I said 100,000 times that if a white man or a white woman came to me in distress, I would help them. See, people, there's
no Shahada.
I said, believe me, you know about that?
And live in the community?
Yes, but they cannot marry into our blood. Why? Because if we do that, the next generation, the Quran, where Allah says, I made you into tribes and families that you may know about each other. If we mingle and we don't have tribes and families no more, then people will be able to say the Quran has a contradiction in it. Because they'll see everybody one race and they'll say, this book that y'all follow says, I made you into tribes and families that you may know about each other. I've seen black people from integration, and it took me a while to figure out whether they were black or white. I'm quite sure you have too. We got to make sure the Quran stays unadulterated and pure. And if Allah says he made us into different hues and colors, then he wants us to keep these hues and colors. He said he made us into separate tribes and families, then he wants us to keep these tribes and families. So we can worship together, we can laugh together, we can break bread together, but we should not mix our seed with them. That's what I teach. And people are misinterpreting it and calling me a racist because I call white people what they are, the way they call us. They call you a Zinji Quicken Arabic, which means nigger.
Exactly, yeah. Okay. If I may, brother, in all due respect.
Pleasure to talk. What's your name?
Ibrahim.
Ibrahim, it's a pleasure to meet you.
Yes, it's my pleasure.
Yeah, what I wanted to ask, like, say, like, if you were an Orthodox Muslim, besides being black, you were, like, in a country like Pakistan or whatever, Afghanistan, or, like, the so-called brothers of Bangladesh, say, like, you had green eyes or whatever, blue eyes, and you studied the scriptures and you pray five times a day, are you entitled to go to Jannah?
Only Allah Ta'ala can decide that, who goes to Jannah. All we can do is point out the facts of the scriptures. When it comes down to making decisions on who goes to Jannah and who doesn't, Allah does that. You understand what I'm trying to say?
Yes.
Though in the Holy Quran, in the 20th chapter, the 102nd verse, he does refer to them as already accused. You see, on the day when the trumpet is blown, we shall gather the guilty. He's using them as if they're already found guilty. If you notice that when you read it, right? And it's not in a future tense. It's already past. We will gather the guilty. When he speaks about the devil, he says, Undorni, watch me, ila yawm al-akhri, until the day of judgment. Which means Allah already found him guilty for not bowing to Adam, but he asked Allah to respite him, as they translate it, or to watch him. And he says, I'll grant you that. Which means the devil is already found guilty. So whatever nationality, because of integration, that the devil pops up in, and believe it, he has integrated into every nationality. Whatever race he has mixed himself into, whether he's speaking Spanish, French, or American Negro English, if he's the devil in our midst, and he has made it his business to integrate into our midst, on the day when the trumpet is blown, he shall be gathered separately than those righteous. He is Shaitan. Just acting like he's something he's not. And believe me, one of the best acts the devil puts on is the preacher and the teacher and the leaders. They come as Muslims and put on white robe. The Quran says they sit out there and they listen to the recitation of the Quran and then they pervert it. They come as Muslims saying they have faith in Allah in the last day, but they are not. When they're with you, they say they are faithful. But then when they get back to their satanic friends, the Quran literally says that. When they get back to their satanic friends, then they tell their satanic friends that they were only making fun and making a mockery. So remember this. The devil is in many different disguises. He weaves himself into everybody's race. You go to Puerto Rico, you find blonde hair, blue eyes, stand right there speaking Spanish. And if you go to Mauritius, you're going to find them intermingled in Mauritius, Mauritania, and even in Sudan now, my son. We got a whole bunch of them sitting up there, Sudanese, looking blonde hair and blue eyes because they're married in. Because the men, when they got into power and political positions, they started marrying European women and mixing their seeds. That's what the devil has over us. He knows how to assimilate himself into us. You understand?
Yeah.
If you turn to the Holy Quran in the second chapter, in the 13th verse.
And when it said to them, have the same faith as the people before you, Malasa Ibrahim, they say, shall we have the faith of fools? Now, surely they are the biggest fools, but they don't know it. Okay, and when they meet those who have faith, they say, we have faith also. And when they are left alone with their physical devils, they say to them, surely we are with you, and we are only mocking them.
And the Arabic word is, إِلَّا شَيَّا فِيلِهِمْ. And they use the word shaitan right there. You see that? It says, وَإِذَا لَكُوا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا قَالُوا آمَنَا وَإِذَا خَالُوا إِلَى شَيَّاطِينِهِمْ قَالُوا إِنَّ مَعْكُمْ إِنَّمَا نَحْنُ مُسْتَهْزِئُونَ. You see that? And when they meet with those who are faithful, قَالُوا, they say, آمَنَا, I am of the faithful, I am a mu'min, a believer, a faithful person. And when they return إِلَى to their shaitanic friends, قَالُوا, they say to them, إِنَّا شَوْلِ مَعْكُمْ, I am in a company of yours. إِنَّمَا, all I was really doing, all we were really doing, was mocking or making fun of the Muslims. So you better be careful of people who come to you and say, La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah, and they go and leave you and turn right to shaitan, the devil himself, and say, I'm really one of your people. Then when I was with the Muslims, I was pretending I was with them. Don't think because a person says they're Muslim and wears white that they're Muslim. In fact, we have a campaign right now in this community that we're putting a stop to brothers who are on the street dressed as us, pretending to be Ansars and have their women out there with them with veils on and their kids out there, which is not our teaching. But we're going to stop niggas from being in the street, flirting with women, smoking cigarettes, doing all kinds of stuff, and the public thinks they're us. They're on the subway, and they're begging up money, and it's not has nothing to do with our community, and they're selling stuff, they're getting it from people, and it's, when you meet a brother and he tries to sell you something, you ask him, do you live inside the community, yes or no? Do you live inside the community on Bushwick Avenue, yes or no? He says no, then tell him you are wolf in sheep clothing. Do y'all hear me? You people in that room hear me? Yes. If you meet a brother on that street selling something, he's trying to sell you something or solicit funds from you, you ask him, do you live inside the Ansar community, yes or no? You understand? And if he tells you no, that you are a wolf in sheep clothing, because a lot of these brothers use our doctrine to pull women. They wouldn't have no conversation any other way. So they use Ansar law teachings and they pretend they're with us and they sit around their tables all day talking to women. And we are going to put a stop to that stuff because a lot of that is not represented in our doctrine. And a lot of men get bypassed. A brother standing out there, he got questions, and he can't get a conversation in because the brother spent all his time talking to women at his table. We going through Jamaica Avenue, 42nd Street, all the different places where these guys are set up. I know some of you people seen brothers at their tables spend their whole day just talking to women. We're going to put a stop to that because they're out there supposed to be spreading the word, the Dawah of Al-Mahdi, and trying to raise people's souls. They're out there flirting with women. So you and you women, you be careful of those brothers out there professing to be inside here, and they don't want you to come in. They keep you outside, and they visit you, because there's nowhere in our law that says a brother from inside the mosque can go to your house and visit you. That is not our law. He's not allowed to go to your house and eat in your house. He's not allowed to take money from you, and there's no such thing as he can have sex with you because he's planning on marrying you in the near future. If some brother tell you that, he is a liar. And I want you people to do me a favor and spread this, what I'm saying now. You understand? Because there's a lot of bad things happening because brothers are perpetrating some lies. And I want you all to go out there and tell people that if that brother's coming to your house, he doesn't belong there. That's not the law. No brother in the Ansar community is allowed to go to some woman's house who's not in the mosque. That's against our law. If he spends a night in your house, he knows that he's bringing shame to you. He knows he's disrespecting you. Put your foot down in the name of Allah. Okay? Do y'all hear me?
Yeah.
Does everybody in the room hear what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I hope I didn't upset nobody, but yeah. This is something that must be done. Because a lot of perpetrators out there, wolves in sheep clothing.
Just to elaborate on what he said, someone had approached my husband went and asked someone dressed in white, and he had women with him, my so-called wives, and my husband asked him about the community, and he started to say derogatory things about the community. And he also told my husband that he doesn't live in the community. So I guess maybe that's what he was probably one of those people.
That's exactly the kind of people, because we would never have our women on the street with all that danger, selling no product or whatever. And we think it's our women should be protected, not out there. You understand what I'm saying? A Muslim woman or any woman, for that matter, whether she's Muslim or not, should be respected and not allowed to stand out on those street brothers. We see brothers like that, and they get mad because we tell them, you're disrespecting your own wife. And I'm sorry that she doesn't have enough sense to see that you're subjecting her to a lot of danger. All these crazy people out here, all these crazy Jews, somebody, some snipers blow up a hotel in Israel, and some fool runs up and thinks you an Arab and starts hitting you in your head with something or hit your wife. Then you got to kill him on the street, and then you're in jail. And it's all over. Your wife's in jail, your kid's in some home, and it ain't worth it. We got to build communities now, and we got to learn to train ourselves and get prepared for survival. We got to teach our women to prepare themselves. We've got to get ready for what's going to happen in the very near future. And if y'all don't get ready, y'all going to be some sorry people, because the white man is ready. He got his thing organized. When he go down to the village and beat up white kids, you know what he do to black kids. He went to the, I think it's the East Village, and whipped a whole bunch of white people in the head with sticks. So you know what he'll do to you. Go ahead, sister.
Okay.
Excuse me for interrupting you.
That's all right. If white people are cursed, of the cursed race, why waste time accepting them into the Nation of Islam?
All right. I didn't say that I do. I said if a white person came to me, and let me show you how I explained it.
Okay.
There's people sitting in that class who've been coming to our class for years asking questions, black, and never move in. You follow that?
Yeah. Okay.
They just absorb the knowledge, and they got an excuse every year for why they're not in. So I said, if a white person came to that mic and asked, could I move in, I'd say yes, because there's black people sitting inside there who should be trying to build from the inside out that won't. And I'd say that person got more faith than the brother and sister who's sitting inside there just using the doctrine to get over on a day-to-day basis. That's how I explained it. I also follow by saying to brother that I do not believe that the devil can ever be reformed. You see that?
No.
He is the devil, was the devil, and always will be the devil. There's no reformation for the devil. So you know what I'm saying? So if he's here, he definitely can't intermarry. And if white people are here and can't intermarry, they only have one generation of survival. If they can't marry, they will fade away. You understand?
What is the...
Plus, let me add one more thing. Plus, because of genetics, if every black person in the world married a white person, there'd be no more white people. Because the kids born to black and white are considered black.
Right.
So if every black person went and married a white person, we'd get rid of them in one generation. But we'd have so many diseases, it would take us another 10 generations to get rid of the diseases. So we can't reform them. Okay, go ahead.
What is your teaching or the Muslim teaching on reincarnation?
I'm glad you brought that question up, because we're the only community that will address this problem. Most Muslims, if you go to them and try, visit them, and ask them if they believe in reincarnation, they'll go, yo, that's a Hindu belief and it's wrong. And then they'll tell you that Jesus is coming back.
Mm-hmm.
They'll say in the Hadith, the Prophet Muhammad said, Jesus will come in the last day, and he'll ascend in a physical form, they say, in their teaching, in an orange robe in Jerusalem. All right? Now, if Jesus was here on earth, and according to them, Allah took him up, which means he left his physical plane, or for a simpler word, he died, correct?
Yes.
And if Jesus is going to come back in a latter day in a physical form to take the head of the jar and to break the cross, then Muslims in a quiet kind of way believe in the word reincarnation, because all it means is to reincarnate, to come back in a physical body. But if you ask them if they believe in reincarnation, because of brainwashing by Hindus, they'll say, no, we don't believe in reincarnation, immediately before they think out what you're saying. If you believe that the Messiah Jesus is going to return in the latter day to claim his people, then you believe in reincarnation. So if you ask me, do I believe in reincarnation? Yes, I do believe that Moses and Elijah reincarnated to Jesus and spoke to him. Yes, I do believe that Elijah returned in John the Baptist, in the scriptures. And yes, I believe when Rasulullah taught us that Jesus will come in the latter day in a physical form. So yes, I do believe in reincarnation. I don't believe, however, that we come back as fishes and birds and ducks and snakes and all that kind of stuff. I don't believe we can regress. I think we can only go forward, because we're going towards becoming one with the Creator. So I don't think we can go back. Okay?
Okay. But how about a person like me, just the average person? Well, so-called average person.
I think that if you don't build up enough qadr, what certain people call karma, while in this life, you will come back through in another life. I know that human beings do not just live 80 years and die. There's too much in the universe that must be obtained, and too little time in them 80 years. If all that extraterrestrials live thousands of years and some trillions of years, they've lost the sense of time. What happened is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the beginning of the book of your book called Genesis, he put in time by the creation of the sun, moon, and stars, and have put y'all in a vacuum of time where you have durations of existence and seasons and of, if you follow, but beings on the outside, angelic beings who live outside of the earth's atmosphere are not subject to your time laws, and therefore they have infinite life, or what Jesus or Muhammad or Moses call eternal life. So I believe, yes, you yourself have lived other lives. And with the proper regression, you can go back to those other lives. Most times, if you catch a kid like 5 years old, you can sit down and talk to them, ask them questions, and they can tell you about previous lives that they've lived. Little kids, if you know how to question them. And adults with a person who knows what they're doing can be put into hypnotic regression and go back and experience previous lives. Everybody you see has lived multiple lives before. Yes. Okay?
Okay.
Spirit is too old for the body. Go ahead.
What? I didn't hear it.
I said the spirit is a heck of a lot older than the body.
Oh, I see. There's another person. Oh, okay. So when exactly what age is he supposed to make his appearance?
Who? The devil?
Yeah, he's 22. He'll be about 22 now.
The devil came out of the pit, the first pit, in 1966.
Right.
All right? He's going to be locked away again for 1,000 years. And that 1,000 years can be one day. Because one day, like to the Lord, is like 1,000 years, depending on us and our faith. If we don't perform the circle, now listen close, people. If we don't perform the circle, which gives us the power to pull down the walls of Jericho again, we will be vulnerable to Satan. What made Israel have the power to pull down the walls of Jericho is they came together and they chanted and they zikred. They zikred Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's name together in a circle. They formed a camp and set up the ark of the tabernacle and they prayed together and they worshiped together. And then they went down to Jericho and they marched on the city and they brought it down. You remember that? Well, we can't do it because like Israel, you Ishmaelites won't come to the camp. We won't get together. So the devil will be loose on us. And if he's loose on us, we have serious problems.
So we have the power.
You ain't kidding, because like that room, there's people sitting there talking to us, and you maybe, who ain't coming home, will be talking for months. I'm going to come. I think he's right. He might be telling the truth. You ain't never heard nothing like this before. You ain't never seen these many facts before. Have Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ever provided y'all with so many facts, book after book, numbers, quotes, dates, names, places, maps, science, but so many facts. Have he ever poured out so many facts before? Never before. But still, you won't come home. Still, you stay out there and wobble in the mire. And meanwhile, the devil and the beast is organizing. Okay?
I know there's 19 other galaxies, and some planets have been destroyed, but how do they...
Wait a minute. Huh? There's 19 galaxies in Theta.
What's that?
Theta is where Yanin comes from. There's Zeta, Theta, Alpha, Beta. These are Greek names that were given to the different star formations in other galaxies. There's 19 galaxies within the star formation of where Yanun comes from.
Oh,
and he just happened to come from the 8th planet called Risk of a 3-sun galaxy, which is one of the 19. When you get into Zeta, or what they call Zeta 1, right? That's another star formation, and they have many galaxies there, okay? It's much more complicated than
much more complicated.
Just that, yeah.
Well, I just wanted to ask you, what do extraterrestrials look like? I mean, you see these on television, you see little green-eyed monsters, but do they actually look like that or really more like us?
I understand what you're saying. Are you with me? Let me explain something to you about that extraterrestrial thing. When an extraterrestrial visits Terra, Terra is one of the names of the planet Earth used by extraterrestrials.
Mm-hmm.
The project planet Earth is called Urenda, if you ever get a chance to remember. And Jesus, by the way, is on a starship, and his starship name is Senender. Okay? He's not called Jesus or the Messiah, he's called Senender. But let me go on. If an extraterrestrial ship, as you call them, comes into the Earth and lands, correct? For the first time, and he lands in a jungle, and he encounters a lion, what do you think he'll think? That's an earthling.
What?
he'll think that the lion is an earthling.
Yeah.
If he encounters, if he goes beneath the earth into the sea, like the Voltecs do, when they come here, they go under the sea. What would he think when he sees under the sea? He'll think those are earthlings. Yeah. See, what's wrong with people on the planet Earth? They tend to think that they're the only earthlings. We are the human beings. We are the rulers of the planet Earth. When in reality, every living creature from insect to ant, the bacteria, is an earthling. And therefore, different forms of extraterrestrials, depending on the ladder of their intellect and existence, come to Earth. There are bacteria that come to visit bacteria. There are humanoids that come here. The ones that frequent the planet Earth the most, right, Urenians, are what they refer to as the little people. They frequent most here, and that's because back in 1947, one of their ships crashed here because of a storm, and they worked off electricity, magnets. And when they came back to recover the bodies of the wreck, they encountered certain American officials, Truman in particular, who all they asked for was the bodies and the remainings of the wreckage to take back, and they made him make a bargain with them to give them certain diseases and certain formulas like energy equals mass times the speed of light, and your formula of splitting atoms for the atomic bomb, which they told the extraterrestrials they were going to use for something good, but in turn used for something evil. And they didn't return all of the bodies, and they didn't return all of the wreckage. So the extraterrestrials, through what they call telepathy, put Truman out of his misery, and Eisenhower picked it up. Eisenhower came into office, and he became the one who was the negotiator for a certain project whose name I won't mention. And he became a communicator between the extraterrestrials then. You follow that?
Yeah, I follow.
And he also betrayed them. They gave y'all the cure for cerebral palsy. They gave y'all the cure for polio. They gave y'all the vaccine for cholera and for malaria. And they would have given you the cure for cancer and all the other diseases, but they betrayed these beings and killed them, the ones who visited. And so then other beings came from other galaxies, because it's an interplanetary thing, of other galaxies who came here from other forms of life, for lack of a better word, to assist the little people who are really just scientists. See, there's different formations of stars. Some beings come here are scientists. They're more apt to take you up on a ship and examine you and find out how your organs work, find out how your brain works, because mortals on Earth are only using a fraction of their brain. Certain planets where the people have evolved for millions and millions of years, they use their whole brain. And human beings, for some reason, have stopped. As you were evolving in the beginning of your time, thousands of years ago, you were becoming smarter and beginning to use more of your brain, and that was giving you more psychic power. But wicked extraterrestrials have taught human beings how to use computers, which made their brain stop developing. And if you don't develop your brain, you're going to cut off your psychic power, and y'all won't have telepathy and all of the powers necessary for communicating with extraterrestrials. So now you're doing everything on computers, and you stop developing the brain. So the extraterrestrials are concerned, but you're so fascinated with the computers and how fast it gets things done that they can't convince you that thousands of years are being lost because human beings are not calculating with their hands and not developing their mind and not studying things from an esoteric standpoint of view, but they're looking at everything from a monetary and physical standpoint of view. So they foresee that planet Earth is about to destroy itself because man has got more sophisticated with his technology than he has in his spiritual powers. So they sent the Quran, they sent the Torah, they sent the Injil. They, through telepathy, have communicated with certain mortals like Muhammad and Zoroastrian and Buddha and Musa and Esau. Esau is a different creature because he was caught between two worlds, and communicated with them and tried to send down this information so that they can teach you and get you developed spiritually for when the mothership comes, which you read in Revelation 21 as the crystal city that Jesus said would come out of heaven with the 24 elders, which Ezekiel saw. But you're not ready for it. You're caught up in the physical things and the luxuries of the world, and you're being persuaded by the cherubim to lean towards the darker side of things instead of by the seraphim to lean towards the lighter side. So to answer your question, many different types of beings are coming to this planet. The most important visitation was around 1947, after you bombed Hiroshima and Nagasaki, because you almost, with two atoms, split your planet. And if you were to split your planet, you would have interfered with things that are being done in the center of the planet in a place called Wahala and Shambhala. So the extraterrestrials started sending people from the Vortex. They went into the bottom of the Bermuda Triangle, which opens up 19 times a year. You understand that? It opens the way to a fourth generation. And they come in, the Vortex are beings from the same galaxy as the little people, but they live underwater as opposed to on land. And they come here when they're living under the sea here in the Atlantic Ocean and different places, and they have empires there. And everybody is working to keep you from destroying the planet so y'all can develop. The only thing that cannot be done is they cannot interfere with the natural course of your planet, because it'll be thrown into a star holocaust, meaning the magnetic field on the planet will be reduced, which y'all are doing anyway by removing the ozone layer. And we're trying to figure out any way we possibly can to re-knit the ozone layer, because if the ozone layer is moving, ultraviolet waves come in, you'll have 10 years before your planet will be destroyed. So extraterrestrials is doing everything in their power to keep you from destroying yourself, and the cherubims are here in the form of human beings, and y'all just don't see them, they're white people, and they're doing everything in their power to destroy you. Let me give you a little cue. The man says drive at 55 miles an hour, and he makes a car that does 260. Don't smoke cigarettes, and they got cigarette commercials. Alcohol will kill you, and they got alcohol commercials. Drugs will kill you, and they import drugs in the country. You can't even smuggle a piece of jewelry in from South America, but they can't stop hundreds of pounds of drugs. There's obviously an inward conspiracy for human beings to destroy themselves out of their ignorance, and extraterrestrials are not allowed to intervene. They can only suggest or through telepathy or influence certain human beings to make them react certain ways or just incarnate and teach, like in my case. I was assigned here to teach you to try to raise your consciousness so that when the ship comes, you'll be ready. But I'm having such a hard time because you don't believe nothing I say because I'm not white. You believe the cherubims and everything they teach. If the white man came on today and said, I made all of this up, you always believe it. With all the facts that I taught and every scripture and every verification, you still say, I knew there was something wrong with him all the time. That easy. The same way Malcolm X was easily influenced by the cherubim to turn against Elijah Muhammad. It's that easy. And that's holding y'all back. You have got to get back into using your calculus abilities. You've got to get back into using your psychic powers. You people have psychic powers. How many times have you thought about calling somebody and you picked up the phone and they were there? How many times have you thought about seeing a friend that you haven't seen and turned the corner and they were standing there? How many times have you walked up on a person and said, I know this person, I don't know from where? These are people you know in your spiritual life. You better get your spiritual life together and get away from this physical thing, because it is swiftly passing away. And whether Sananda, who you know as Jesus, or Elias, Elijah, or whoever comes to try to teach you, all you do is get intimidated, cross-examine them, curse them, defame them, question them, doubt them, butcher them, and then try to either kill them or chase them away. The Quran says, you people will kill your own messengers. They try to kill the Messiah, Jesus, for what he was trying to teach you. Some of you people know what I'm talking about. Some of y'all think I'm nuts. Some of you people have had extraterrestrial communication. Some of you people have had extraterrestrial dreams and visions. Some of you people know that you don't belong on this plane. And other people don't know it. Some of y'all are mortals, and some of y'all are supreme beings. And the ones in there that are supreme beings inside, they know what I'm saying is true. They don't know how to get back because they've fallen so far, but they know there's something not normal about the way they feel and the way things happen to them and the way life is set up around them. And they know that people are out to hurt them and situations always work against them. When they try to tell people, people say, oh, you're just paranoid. When you go to get a job and they pick the other person standing next to you and you say, dang, these people just don't like me. And then you go home and say, that's just paranoia. There's no paranoia. The devil knows who you are. And he sees it in your eyes even where you can't see it. And he's out to stop you. He will block everything you want to do. He'll make your life totally miserable. When it's five people to get picked in a college, you'll have the highest credentials and you won't be the one to pick. You understand? When the bus gets late, when you're coming out of the street, the bus is pulled off. Everybody else catches the bus gets away from you. You understand what I'm saying? You get down there, someone says, boy, the train just left. I'm sorry, that was our last pair of green shoes. And then you don't realize that this has been happening to you your whole life. Then you sit back and say, why does everything always happen to me? That's because you are a visitor. You understand? You're a seed of the elders and you're lost here, and you better wake up soon, because when the devil opens up the door against you, he's not going to show no mercy.
نشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له الحمد لله رب العالمين الحمد لله الوالي الكريم وصلى الله على الأنبياء أجمعين والمسيح والمحسي والمجدد لمن مرسلين أما بعد Are we not the bearers of witness that nothing would exist if Allah didn't create it? And that He is alone and has no part? And that all gratitude is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the sustainer of all the boundless universes. All gratitude is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the generous eternal friend. And send salutations of Allah on all of His prophets and His apostles. And on the Messiah, the anointed one. And on the Mahdi, the guide. And on the Mujaddid, the reformer. Which was all sent from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We send greetings and we send peace throughout the boundless universe to all. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh.
The man of the hour, airing 7 days a week at 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on WGAG Radio.
I believe Elijah Muhammad would be very happy to know that he has. In fact, in his last address he made to the community, the address that preceded the last address, he pointed to a Caucasian that was on the platform, and he said that this is a Muslim. He's a saint. He referred to the man as a saint.
أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي الصلاة
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله تعالى وبركاته. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له. أشهد أن كل رسول الله. I bear witness to Allah alone and He has no partners. And I bear witness to all the apostles that come from Allah.
Being a follower of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad through his National Representative Louis Farrakhan, I would just like to know the dress code of bow tie and suits. Is that in any way an abomination of Allah's will compared to the Ansaru community with white garb?
The dress code of the Nation of Islam serves its purpose in that which Minister Louis Farrakhan is trying to get across to the people of the Bay Sentinel. He is talking about what the white man owes you.
Right.
And how you should go about trying to get it. He's talking about the possibility of return to a place called Nubia. Listen close. I didn't say Africa. Africa is a curse word. Akubaland is a curse word.
Break it down.
All of these are tricks by the devil. Don't fall into them tricks.
That's right.
The word Africa means to divide something. Baraka. To break us up into pieces. And that's why when you get to Mother, the home of Nubia, you find Nigerians, Ghanaians, or Ghana, Sierra Leone, Morocco, Libya, Sudan, Ethiopia. And if you talk to an Ethiopian, he'll say he's not what a Sudanese is. You talk to the president of Nigeria, he'll say he's not what an Ethiopian is. But here in this country here, they're all Christians. And they break their Christianity down into denominations. There is denominations, but they still say one nation under God. And they'll say it's not impossible to divide it indivisibly. But when it comes to us, the Muslim family, we call ourselves Sunni or Shia or Bilalian or the 5% nation or the Israelite Hebrews or the Nation of Islam. We all want to be divided. The Christians, as ignorant as we consider them in their teachings, are able to live in one nation and call themselves Baptist, Pentecostal, Seventh-day Adventist, Jehovah's Witness, Catholic, of multiple denominations of Catholics exist. Romans, Greeks, the Coptic. But when it comes to Muslims, because of ego, we can't live as one nation under Allah. We can't get in a room together. The Sunnis don't even belong in this game.
That's right. That's right. That's right.
You don't belong in this game because you're not saying you're black.
Bring
it out, brother.
And if you're not black, you don't belong in this room.
All right now.
It's a black thing.
That's right. That's right.
That's right.
And if you can't see who the devil is in 1990,
wake us up.
If you can't see what the devil is doing all over the world today to people, our people, people of color, then you're blind, brother.
That's right.
And the Quran says you're blind.
Right.
How they dead? Because regardless of how many times Malcolm X jumps up and down, or Noble Ali jumps up and down, or Clarence 13X jumps up and down, or Minister Louis Farrakhan jumps up and down, or Yahweh Ben Yahweh jumps up and down, regardless of how many times black people jump up and down to make you see the white man don't love you. The white man loves his dog. The white man ain't gonna give you nothing. And for you Sunnis, I'm saying the people that you are worshiping,
bring it out,
are worshiping the white man.
Come on, right? Come on with it.
You flying over to Saudi Arabia to run around the Kaaba and kiss a black stone and worship it and shake hands with a bunch of pale Arabs.
Right.
And they call Minister Louis Farrakhan over there. You beg to go. And they invite him over. They're all the Sunni Muslims in America, smiling and shining. There's no racism in Islam.
Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the messenger of Allah for the Europeans, for the Americans.
And out of all the brothers in the United States, the Saudi Arabians invite Minister Louis Farrakhan, knowing he's teaching from the teachings of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, knowing that he thought that the white man is the devil and Mr. Warren D. Muhammad. You cannot reform the devil. But I will not align myself with no pale Arabs who align themselves with the American government building weapons.
That's right.
When people in Ethiopia are starving to death, and Sudan is starving to death, Muslim countries are starving to death. But which Muslim country, brothers and sisters, the white ones or the black? We don't have our own poverty in Turkey.
That's right.
Or Iraq.
Right.
If they didn't shoot up Lebanon, it would be the most modern city in the world. I didn't say Islamic, I said Islam. They had to turn it into a parking lot. Meanwhile, brothers in Sudan starving to death. In Ethiopia, in Somalia, Muslim countries, the black Muslim countries. The so-called devil, the Jew, Yahoo's grafted devil. He will go to Israel and support Israel. I'm talking about the United States of America. We'll spend billions of dollars strengthening the military of Israel. Saudi Arabia spends billions of dollars in America buying weapons that they'll never use against nobody but us.
That's right.
But they won't use it against the white man.
That's right. That's right.
Because they love the white man. Why do they love the white man?
Give him nothing. Give him nothing.
Never gave him a reason to perform it himself. He didn't even know they existed until they had oil. So it's a black thing. And it's a day and time we're in when the family of Adam have got to come together.
Right.
I don't care whether you speak Spanish, Cuban, Latin, Japanese, Malaysian, Indonesian, Arabic, Hebrew, I don't care what you speak, you are a child of the sun. When I say a child of the sun, I mean you're the only race of people who can live under the sun.
That's right.
That's right. I want you to tell me, for this planet's sake, where else is a human being supposed to dwell? But under the sun. And if that be the truth, and tell me why white people get burned up under the sun. If they belong under the sun, why can't they go lay on the beach under the sun?
Overexposure to ultraviolet light causes more than 500,000 skin cancer cases each year. The number is expected to double by the year 2000.
That's right.
And you believe they came from other galaxies, or they're extraterrestrials, then why they can't get up there? Why it keep blowing up every time they try to get up?
Right.
Now, there's three domains we know about. Right? We know about the domain we're in. Then we know about the domain of Allah, and then we know about the domain of sin. If the domain of Allah is up, because we say samarati, we use using up, and a dunya is here, the world, and the white man taught us that hell was below, Hades. He didn't come up, and he can't live here. Where is he from?
Hell.
Then what is he?
The devil.
What's the job of a devil? To do devil.
That's right.
Very simple job, right? Devils do devils. Is crack devilishment.
That's right. Yes, it is.
Is marijuana devilishment.
Yes, it is.
How about alcohol?
Yes, it is.
How about prostitution?
Yes, it is.
How about war? How about AIDS? How about syphilis? How about diarrhea? How about herpes? Are these all part of devilish men? Did we have these in Mother Africa? Do we have anything about ancient Egypt?
No.
When back in Egypt we had diseases?
No.
The first thing he had to do is to divide us up and call us Africans.
That's what he did.
Put us in all kind of loud tongues. They go to Nigeria, they got on flags and speckles and banners and ribbons and so on and so forth. And they said, this is our national dress.
That looks like it is.
You go to Europe, they all wear suit and tie. Germans wear suit and tie. Italians wear suit and tie. French wear suit and tie. Americans wear suit and tie. They got to tell you where they're from for you to know it.
Right.
But if you can't even aim a rock and throw it at them without asking them who they are first. But when it comes to us, we refuse to garb ourselves in the garb of race.
Thank you,
we're in a country that we built. We're not respected for building it by our own people. The white man obviously knows that you build the country and that you have the ability to build without it. That's why he won't give you jobs. Because if he ever lets you get your hand on a tool, you'll build another pyramid here and create a nice wonder of the world. If you believe he's going to give you 40 acres of the mule, and you believe that Mighty Mouse is in the project down here. There's too many of you to get 40 acres of the mule. There's not that many acres on the planet right now. And Adele's going to show you that many mules. If you think he's going to give you that weight and gold, he doesn't have it. South Africa has it. And as long as America wasn't siding with us against apartheid, she had control over South Africa. But the moment the voice was heard in the West,
free South Africa.
When black people started saying, free Nelson Mandela from the West, then of course the Europeans over there, with 90% Caribbean and Africans, said, yeah, free Nelson Mandela. Japanese started saying, yeah! Free Nelson Mandela! Have you heard any of the Arab countries, Sunni? Have you heard any of your so-called Sunni brothers when Pakistan was blacker than us? They just don't know it yet. Have you heard any Saudi Arabians stand up? Any king or prince or imam or sheikh from any Islamic country and say, let the people in South Africa go?
No.
Why not? Because they don't care about them. What makes you think they care about you?
Right.
But along comes a man like Minister Louis Farrakhan who says, we got to do something for ourselves because there is no tomorrow when you graduate. So you get a certificate.
You can buy one on 42nd Street. BA. Degree. You're taught by professors who profess to know things. They put you in a college. You're in a university and you don't know nothing about the universe. So then when you graduate, when you finally graduate and they throw you at the world market, come on, college kids in here, tell me what you know. They have you leaving school looking for a job.
Right.
They don't have you leaving any school, which is a trick word for shul if you spell it out in Hebrew. They don't have you leaving creating jobs. What are you going to be? I'm going to be an executive secretary. I want to be a lawyer. I want to be a doctor, a physician, a psychologist. I want a tap dance. I want a sausage. I want Uncle Tom. I want to work under some more white folks. I want to remain a slave of the slave master. I want to get up every morning piling on this metal object called a subway by the hundreds and stuff in there and squeeze and sweat. And then get out there and go to the place and push a card in and sit down and do what he says to and make him rich to keep us in slavery. Because if you're making $500 a week, boy, you're giving him $5,000. Otherwise, you have no value. By making us hate ourselves. You sisters, and I was talking to the sisters in the community yesterday about the same thing. You sisters are under the illusion that we think y'all are pretty. Let me tell you what happened now. And what happened is, we would have, had we not been brainwashed. See, we have learned to live in a system of multiple choices. Look down at your shoes right now. Check them out. Sneakers or shoes, check them out. Trust me, I'm not going to do nothing. You trust the white man to work for him 7 days and hope he pays you on the 8th. You give him the whole week without pressing him. Then you look at those shoes you have on. You brought those shoes, right? Or someone brought them for you. You may even went to a window where there was 50 pairs of shoes and said, I like those. Give me those pair right there. Because they'll match my green dress. Yes? Did you decide on the shoes you wanted? Or was it multiple choice?
Multiple choice.
Tell me something, some decision you have made since you've been in slavery. Please tell me once. You got a vote. I guess I'm on television. You know what I'm watching tonight? One of these things on one of these channels. What am I going to eat? Ain't y'all tired of chicken and lamb and rice and spaghetti and... All right? What are you going to eat tonight? One of the things you ate within the last year. Only scrambled around. Multiple choice. I'll meet you at a point. The only decision you ever made on your own was when you decided to become a Muslim. You will admit, I'm a Christian because I was born one. My mother and my father was a Christian. So I'm a Christian. My mother's a Baptist. I'm a Baptist. That's how it goes. That's how it goes? So your father become a lush, so you become a lush. Your mother's abused by your father, so you should automatically marry a husband who's going to abuse you. Your mother lives in a project, so you should your greatest hope should be the project. You start your multiple choices again now in your way of life. Well, this I want from my mother, this I don't. This I want from my dad, this I don't. The only decision you ever make in your life is when you start making decisions that are not pre-programmed in the computer of the Western world
for what you'd be. You understand that? And like your sister was asking, where is the help? What is the help? Atonement is the help. Atonement is it. You must sacrifice something. The brother should have asked her, what are you willing to sacrifice to get relieved of the surroundings of the devil? But see, you want the devil to leave you alone, but you don't want to give up nothing.
Right.
So which means that the thing that's attracting the devil to you is still there. So if you want to get the devil off your back, then change your jacket. If you want to get the devil out your face, stop smiling his face. If you want to own something, go for yourself. Bill, the only decision you're ever going to make on your own is when you make up your mind not to believe that Jesus, a white hippie, is God incarnate. That's the first decision. I didn't say don't believe that Jesus is God incarnate. Do I believe that Jesus is God incarnate? Yes. Just like Master Prophet Muhammad is God incarnate. And just like you are God incarnate. And you.
Bring it out.
Why do I say that? Because Jesus said, our Father, who art in heaven. And if he's our Father, and I'm his Son, and my Father is what I am, and I am what my Father is, when you see me, you see my Father, and when you see me, you see God. Let me correct this one more time. I didn't say a lot. I don't want you small-minded Sunni Muslims to twist this around. God's way of taking me and Minister Louis Farrakhan's words and twist them around.
That's right.
See, Minister Louis Farrakhan is the best speaker we got today.
Right.
Understand? We both serve purpose. We came in a pair. But every time somebody came as a single, you didn't listen. We came as a pair this time. You follow that? Follow me, Elijah. I'm the writer, and he's the speaker. I heard Mr. Lewis Farrakhan say, there's nobody out here that can speak like me. And I watched the tape, and I said, he's right. He's a better speaker than I am, my father. My father. But then I said, but there's nobody out here who writes like I do. Me and Minister Louis Farrakhan has got to come to the reality that we need each other.
Yes.
You follow that? And I've made those steps forward. I know he has too, because I'm listening to his tapes and I hear him using doctrine.
No Muslim that believes that Prophet Muhammad will be seen in the judgment. They don't teach that they will see Prophet Muhammad in the judgment. They teach that they will see Jesus. And the sign of the judgment and the resurrection will be the return of Imam Esau, Jesus, along with the Mahdi.
It made me blush. Because I said too many times, okay, I recognize that you believe that Master Prophet Muhammad is a law in the personage. So the law came in the personage. That he breathed of his spirit into you and you became a living soul. Because you did say he came, because if he came, he was somewhere. The Allah, as we know him, is always here.
Yeah.
But if he's here, he can't be there. But he can be here and there. And he can't be over there and not here, and he can't be over here and not there at any one time. But he can be here. Because when I see you, like Jesus said, I see God. If you do, the words of God. I'm using God so I don't insult nobody, you understand? Black people get insulted so easily. You talk about their white God, they really hit you. But let the white man down Honorable Elijah Muhammad or Sheikh Daoud or Noble Drew Ali or Clarence 13X or Malcolm X, and they love that. Let the white man say Elijah Muhammad had a bunch of secretaries he had sex with. Oh, and President Kennedy has wings, huh? President Kennedy and his brother and his brother and his other brother was all hooked up with the same woman, Marilyn Monroe. They just passed it down. All y'all know about us is Cleopatra and Nefertiti. How many husbands has Elizabeth Taylor had? But you talked about the other Elijah Muhammad having more than one wife. You didn't know it. You just just assuming.
That's right.
All conjecture.
Yeah.
All hearsay. He got it from an angry son.
Yeah.
Sons get angry at their fathers all the time. Get mad. Once though I hate him. How many times when you was a kid, you said, I'm going to grow up, I'm going to beat him up. Wait till I get big enough, I'm going to knock him out. Now my mother in the kitchen.
Right.
When you got big enough, he said, come on. He said, wait till I get big. The next thing was, I'm getting out of this place. We see your people, we see what you breed, and we don't want it anymore. We don't want to put what you're putting on television into our children anymore. So either give us some land of our own or let us go home. That's what Minister Farrakhan is talking about right now. And I can't say nothing about that. It's wrong. Give us some land of our own or let us go home. And do for us when we go home the same thing you do for Israel. Support us. Build our defense. Do the exact same. Don't just throw us out in no desert and leave us there and make a joke out of it. We ain't that stupid. Don't you realize the reason why black people love you so much? Because they're smart enough not to leave you until they can stand on their own. They look like Toms. The brothers and sisters you don't like out there, that nigga was a Tom. Look at him. He's towering up on the white people. He's just a little smarter than you. You just don't see it that way. He's, I'm standing real close to white because white got it all. White people stay and y'all eat the McDonald's and white cattle. Yes, Whitey produces the clothes, we buy it. Whitey produces the music, we listen to it. He produces television programs, we watch it. He subliminally brainwashes us to be what he wants us to be. So, when I see a black woman, I don't see beauty. I gotta see a white woman to see beauty. You know how you know? A good brother, he means well, Eddie Murphy. He does a whole lecture, because that's what comedy is, a lecture. And he prefers, in his lecture in Princeton, Oprah, he puts second, and he puts Brooke Shields first. He said, well, but between Oprah and Brooke Shields, I'm sorry, Oprah. He thought he said something slick. Because he didn't put Oprah against Raphael. You know what that is, right? Another show host, Fallon. One of those fake face, look like Michael Jackson's face. He didn't put them together. He took one of the white women, the white man's best-looking white woman, and compared her to Oprah. She's all right. I mean, she ain't no Iman. But in the family of looks, she gets about a four. But when you compare the two, notice that he compared a what they consider a glamorous white woman to a regular sister. Now, if you would have said, well, between Iman and Brooke Shields, Iman. Anyway, it goes, they have brainwashed you and me, and you know it's true, brothers. We don't know what beauty is no more.
That's right.
Don't tell me beauty is in the eye of the beholder. He said that too. You don't know what beauty is because we don't see black women as pretty no more. That's why they got to, like the brother said, oh, they got to perm their hair and pluck their eyebrows and redraw them in and slant their face and sharpen their nose and paint their lips, try to make them thinner. You have forced the woman to do that, then you stand back and talk about it. You forced her to do it because when she walks by, you don't look. When she walks by, you don't open the door. You're not courteous. You're not kind. You're not respecting the black woman. But an old white woman walk by, niggas be jumping out the way. Not only in the South, right here. I live here, South and the Caribbean. I see you Tom all over the world. The white women smiling in their face. We got to re-educate that little boy there to what beauty is. Understand? If you don't know, look in the mirror. If you need a tape measure for your nose, carry one. So when you start looking in the mirror, man, and you look at your lips and your nose, and you start seeing these big lips and these big nose, and then look at a woman with a skinny nose and thin lips, and say, that's pretty, what you say about yourself.
Right.
Like the comedian said this, three out of every three people, right? Mm. Out of every three people, two of them ugly, isn't it?
Yeah.
So if you look on your right and left, and both of them are not ugly, guess what? But the sad part about it, who decided what was ugly? Us or the white man?
White.
Why? Because he is Metro Golden Mayor. Isn't that a coincidence that the first ambassador of the state of Israel, her name was? What a coincidence, Alex.
A man, you know, that's only.
And she's responsible for Sambo and Aunt Jemima and Uncle Ben and Bojangles and Rochester. She's also responsible for Superman and Batman and Clark Gable. And what's the other one, the homo? Minister's trying to say, and if you Sunni Muslims are too stupid to see that, there's something seriously wrong with y'all. Forget the difference in our doctrine and see what the man is trying to say, and if it makes sense. Because you were so busy badgering the honorable Elijah Muhammad about Master Farah Muhammad, about who the devil is, that you wasn't listening to what he was saying, and you sure didn't see what he did, because you was here before the man, before Elijah came. You were here. And you couldn't turn the hearts of the fathers toward their sons.
That's right.
Sunni Muslims were already in America before he came.
That's right.
And before Master Farah Muhammad came to him. They were already here. Mm. Please show me one of your mosques that you built. Not no white Arab came over here and built for you. Show me one mosque that Orthodox Sunni Islam, dark-skinned people you have built.
God.
Show me a Salaam restaurant.
Not
show me a newspaper,
not
a series of books, a button. Show me something to let us know that you're here. Because what they did is they concentrated on you not being here.
That's right.
That's the pact the Arabs got with America. Don't turn our niggas into Muslims. Why don't they want you to become Muslim? Because being Muslim will be the first decision you ever make. And if you make that decision on your own, decision making is going to start being fun.
Come on.
The first decision you're going to make is when you're going to say, "Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah." That's going to be the first one. Then you're going to go to the prophets. You know why? Because you already read the Bible. Arabs don't read the Bible. It's tactic with as far as they're concerned. They've got their own Quran, their own everything now. But you've read the Bible. So when they say prophet, you think, oh, Jesus, of course. Tell me about Jesus. They can't. You don't believe me? Next week, don't come here. Go visit Sunni Muslim mosques and ask them questions about Jesus. Say, excuse me, was Jesus crucified, yes or no? They'll say, no. The Quran says that Jesus was not crucified, nor did he hang on the cross. He was not killed, nor but it's only made to look that way. Well, okay, gotcha. Now explain the story to me. I got that, and I got the Bible here. Now, you're going to have to tell me if this whole Bible is tampered with to justify this one verse. You can't see? You see the trick? The whole book got to be tampered with for this one verse, except for when you want to prove that the comfort is Muhammad. Then all of a sudden, there's verses in the Bible that are not
tampered
with. Except the one you want to prove that there's certain verses in there that prove that Abraham and Ishmael, Dr. Jamal Badri said.
When one reads the book of Genesis, when it says that God ordained Abraham to take his only son, Isaac. Isaac was never the only son, the one who was the only.
All of a sudden, the Bible ain't tampered with. I don't know. I heard that before. Somewhere, the Quran says that there are people like to pick and choose from our revelation. What suits them? What do you say? Well, walk with me through the scriptures. Walk, one, two, let's go. They cannot do it. Talk to them. ask them, is Muhammad white or black? You know what they'll say to you? No, they'll say, that's not important. That's not important whether he's white or black. Say, well, if it was not written in any hadith that he was white, then it wouldn't be important. Do you understand what I'm saying? If you didn't affix right rights to the Quran and explain them and say Muhammad was white, then it wouldn't be important. Because everybody would know he's black, because you can't produce nothing from white. So he had, the original man had to be black. That's a fact. But because you Sunnis got hadith saying Muhammad is white, literally, Bukhari, Tirmidhi, you got these books that you wrote with your own, written with your own hand. Ooh, that sounds familiar. Oh yeah, there's a place in the Quran that says that men, they write books with their own hand for a price.
Right.
So you ask, did the Prophet Muhammad write the Quran? Some scholars say yes. Some scholars say no. Some scholars say we don't know. But they'll say, yeah, Jesus never wrote a book with his own hand. They're right. They're right. And the Quran confirms that Jesus never wrote a book with his own hand. So the Quran says what? What we gave to Jesus. Who gave it to Jesus? John gave it to Jesus. Because it says in the book of Revelation, this is a revelation which what? Allah gave unto Jesus to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent it, and he signified it by his servant, John.
That's what he said, brother.
So don't say, did Jesus write a scripture with his own hand? Because the Quran also confirms that Jesus was the word of Allah.
Right.
Called him, Khalil, the word. But you took and called Moses the word. The Quran says Jesus is the word. But you ask the Muslim, what is Moses' secret name? They say, Kalimullah. Show me that in the Quran, say. See, this is the Ansar Creed. If I don't leave anything here, I want to leave with you the word, show me that.
Right.
That's what makes an Ansar, you know.
Right.
That's what makes us different than every other group of Muslims out here. We're like, show me, man. Got the Bible in my hand. Get the Bible in my hand. Christians say, well, they, Jesus said, show me. I want to see where it says Jesus so-and-so. Well, it's in there somewhere. Well, you understand it's in there somewhere. We're not talking about anything. Show me what you're talking about. If you didn't have enough faith to study the that verse and a chapter, why should I even bother listening to you? Oh, wait, that sounds familiar. It's a place in the Quran that there's people that are like mules that carry books on their back. Why they use a mule? Because you can't get any dumb stuff. So when you go to Sunni Muslim and you say, well, I visited the Ansar, Astaghfirullah. Those brothers are not Muslim. That man says that he is Allah. See, that's called altering words. Some of those who are Jews altered words from their places. I said, all of you are Allah. You are the original man, the Asiatic black man, the maker, the owner, the creator, the planner, the father of civilization, and God of the universe. When you were spirit, you were supreme. When you were seed, you were supreme. And now you are supreme. They call the Prophet Muhammad in the Quran, Khuluq al-Azim. They say, created supreme in the Surah of the Ten. But they will take and say, created great. Then what's the name al-Aziz mean? Mighty. Then what's the name al-Mustaqib? Big. They keep jumping from great. Then why do you say Allahu Akbar means Allah is great? Show me the answer, please. Because we live by the word of Allah. Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord.
Right.
What it says.
So when someone starts rattling on with their mouth, say, show me it in the words of the Lord. Wait a second. When I got this hadith that says, oh, don't let me get away. Oh, so the hadith is from Allah? Well, no, the hadith is a collection of men. No, no.
The exotic scent of the ancient musk oil that dwells freely in the mountainous regions of the Himalayas. Our exclusive scent of musk has been traditionally called mist. It is commonly known amongst the lineage of the prophets that the scents of rose, myrrh, frankincense, and musk stimulate good mood, good character, and generate a pleasant environment. Mahdi luxurious musk scent keeps the body at the peak of performance. Rest assured that Mahdi ingredients pamper the body to give it that smoother, natural look that only your body deserves. You owe it to yourself to look good with Mahdi products. So be good to your body, and your body will look good to you. Available in your neighborhood at your nearest Tesla Kia.
Don't let the man trick you. See, we started red, black, and green. Way back in 1900s, time. Right? They didn't tell you that same red, black, and green that Marcus Garvey used there, he got from a Sudanese called Dus Muhammadu Ali. They don't tell you that. It's history. It's in the books. And he was a Sudanese who he met in Egypt. You know about that. Now, if he's a Sudanese, and back then, the flag of the Sudan was the Mahdi flag. This flag right here. This flag right here was the flag of the Mahdi. You see that? You think that this is a coincidence, that this flag happens to have the same colors that Marcus Garvey happened to get from a man he happened to meet from the Sudan who happened to be in Egypt at the time? Does it seem like it? No. But see, the devil gets in again. He moved the black and put it where the red is. The Mahdi, that man over there, alayhi salam, he purposely put the black on top. Because the black represented us. The red represents blood. You understand? Red, black, and green means you plan to bleed again. Mahdi said, no. I'm coming in the name of Allah. And we will not bleed again. And the British came out against him. The Turks came out against him. The Egyptians, a little band of men, a small group of desert people, no weapons, but faith that has the power to move mountains is all they had. And they stood behind the Mahdi, alayhi salam. And they rose that flag. And they conquered. So here we again, we rose the flag. And now all of a sudden things are happening in America. So they're even a Jamaican flag. They eased in the red, black, and green flag. They start eating the Ethiopian flag. Trick again.
That's right.
But the white man don't care nothing about you.
That's right.
He'll take your life and drink a cup of coffee on it.
Right.
You don't believe me? Ask the Japanese. Ask the Vietnamese. He'll wipe you out without asking the Panamanians.
Right.
He only told you about a portion of the death that took over there, took place. He didn't tell you that was an all-black neighborhood that they bombed. He'd have a whole lot of stuff out of that dialogue. Which is true. They know what they're doing. You think AIDS is an accident, sister? AIDS is a form of germ warfare.
This disease will kill more people this year than all other viral diseases combined. According to Dr. Robert Strecker, AIDS is a man-made, genetically engineered virus that was either accidentally or deliberately introduced into the world's population.
Nobody dies of AIDS. They die from their immune system breaking down, and whatever disease is there attacks them and kills them.
Right.
So tell me how many cures they're going to need. How many cures? Because if each one of y'all catch AIDS, you're going to die for a different reason. But your cure is different than your cure and your cure. And the white man ain't going to spend that money trying to do that. He's doing another thing. He's spending the money trying to get out of here and leave you with the disease. You think he's shooting up his space shuttle for? You know, he wants to go up there and live. And he did all that. He destroyed the planet. He destroyed the ozone. You make any spray cans? What other soap cans you ever made? Spray what? Spray hair sheen or afro sheen and spray can by black people? Where? They ain't created a thing here. We're not responsible for the diseases. But he will leave you here to die. And your preacher don't know that. Because he's so busy saying Jesus is going to come and save us. We waited 379 years for this spook God. Where was he in Georgia when the crackers blew up that church in the little kitchen?
Yeah.
Where is he? If he's there to help, where is he? Where is the spook God y'all been waiting for? We've been waiting with you every now and then. Every now and then, you know what y'all do? Y'all lie and fool the world and say, there's a cross out from Queens to the sky. There's a big cross. That means Christ is coming. You remember that?
Yeah.
And all the Christians are marching out of the Queens and looking, oh my God, Christ is going to come. That told them Muslims, told everybody, it's all over. Salvation is coming. And they find out the little kid is fine. And they say, uh-oh, we didn't found the actual shroud of Christ. The actual burial cloth, he left his spiritual impression on it. He left his impression on a cloth he went through, but he had to move a rock to get out the gate. That's the side point. You found a shroud, and this shroud means, yes, Christ did die on the cross our sins, but he is coming back. I don't see the grave between you, but because he died on the cross our sins, and he left his impression, here he is, they went and made a picture of him, he had long blonde hair, they x-rayed it, they hologrammed it, and this is Christ. Then somebody found out that someone made it in the 14th century. Some artist made the shroud. All the people went, ah. How many more? There was a statue in Rio de Janeiro of all places. It cried.
Okay.
All the Christians ran over there, paid their tickets and flew over there to see Mary cry. If Mary's coming back for salvation. I never hear anything about Mary coming back, by the way.
Okay, I'm sorry.
If Mary's coming back for your salvation, Mary, will you please tell me if salvation is a joyful thing and the book of Revelation says there'll be no more crying, why is the statue crying? Shouldn't they have a statue of Mary laughing?
Yeah.
Celebrating the return of Christ because it's all over? Then they find out there was condensation. A crack in the statue had allowed it to seep down out of little hole and out came a tear. Christian went, Now, but meanwhile, a little man, not bigger than this here, Mama Elijah Mama would say, stop believing in this spook God, he ain't coming. You've been waiting for him for too long. He ain't been giving you no sign. And why is he letting people deceive you like that? Why would God let people trick you into thinking he's coming to build your whole stuff? You're going to run all over the world and go, let's do it again. He didn't never come. But here, in this text, a proclamation is made. I don't think this English translation that you told me off. I'll try my best. A proclamation is made by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to the Prophet Muhammad through the angel Gabriel. And it's the last revelation ever revealed to the Prophet Muhammad. The very last thing said to Prophet Muhammad of 1400 years ago. I'm not talking about the apostle or the messenger Elijah Muhammad, who's after him. And people say, what? Did that man just say what I think he said? Did he just say that Elijah Muhammad was a messenger? Quran says so. Holy Quran, 33rd chapter, verse 40, says that Muhammad is the seal of the prophet. He is merely an apostle, and the seal of the prophet. Doesn't say the seal of the apostle. But they'll stretch that into he's the seal of both and kill you like they did with Shia Khalifa if you say other than that.
Right.
Yeah, right. Come on with it. See, Allah raised up a different kind of nigga now. I heard the messenger said once, meaning the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, don't be scared. Mr. Louis Farrakhan said the white man had a gun to Honorable Elijah Muhammad said once, he said, nigga, I should blow your brains out.
Right.
He told him, you can't do it. Only if Allah wills it will it happen. White man put his gun in his pocket. That's faith, right? You got that kind of faith? You think you can stand that? Jesus didn't have it. But when Jesus got ready to crucify, he said, oh, my father, to be positive. Let this cup pass by me. Ain't that what he said? He told me that, oh, God, my spirit is willing, but the body is weak. But you Christians keep telling us it ain't about his body. It's all about his spirit. So Jesus identified with the both of them. He said, spiritually, I'm down. You know I'm with you in the first thing, you know, walking through the valley of the shadow of death and all that stuff. I'm with you, but he's nailed. is there another approach toward the thing? We just another way? Isn't that what happened? They just stopped you up another way. So he really said, I ain't ready for this. Jesus said, I'm not ready. Now there's a man who brought back the dead, but he's not ready to die. Why? I'll tell you why. Because Jesus became like they said. Here's what Jesus said to them. Who do people say the Son of Man is? They say, the prophet Elijah? No. Another thing, let me tell you. This is another trick the Arabs are playing on y'all. There's three different names for Elijah in the Quran, spelled three different ways. They spell it two different ways in the same chapter. And then they say, well, that one is Elijah and the one is Elias. Then who's the third? Who's the third? Could that have been the Honorable Elijah Muhammad? Could it have been? Let's think about it. The Arabic, you can't just because it's there three different ways. Name another prophet in the Quran whose name is spelled three different ways. And why? And then name another prophet whose prediction to come as clear and as sight as it says about Elijah in the books of Malachi. And even in the book way back in the Bible, he said, if you see me, you're going to get a double portion of it. And what did that Elijah back there do? He did the things that Christ did. He raised the dead. Were you not mentally dead?
Yes.
Did you know who you were before the Honorable Elijah Muhammad taught?
Yeah.
Like I said, Sunnis had already been here and taught nothing we could see or understand. And Clarence 13X got his teaching from the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. Yes or no?
Yeah.
Malcolm X was a serious speaker until he went on the law. Serious speaker, where did he get his source from?
Elijah Muhammad.
I remember clearly when word came Muhammad in 1975, he became the leader of the Nation of Islam, proclaimed himself the president.
That's right.
We are one body. But God has manifested that we, under the leadership of Muhammad Elijah Muhammad, are the divine body that God wants the world to see today.
I said, oh man, his father's son is back. Right? His father's son is back. On the line, he made too many trips to Saudi Arabia like Malcolm did. And slowly, surely came back on.
Where in the Quran did you find a hint that it would be possible for white persons to join the Nation of Islam in this country? Because in 1960, as I recall, it was open exclusively to blacks, not to whites.
The language of the Quran concerning the family of man is very much like the language of the Bible. It's not a hint. just plain language. It says that God made you from Adam, your father Adam. And the Quran says also that man is one human, one family.
Shock. The devil can be reformed. Let him in the mind. Wait a minute. What does the lesson say? Can the devil be reformed?
I just want to ask a question. Who really cares? To save a world in despair? Who really cares? There'll come a time.
There'll come a time.
When the world won't be singing.
When the world singing.
Flowers won't grow.
Flowers won't grow. No.
Bells won't be ringing.
The bells won't be ringing.
Who really cares?
Who really cares?
Who's willing to try?
Who is willing to try?
To save a world.
To save a world.
That's destined.
That is destined to die.
When I look at the world.
When I look at the world.
It fills me with sorrow.
It fills me with sorrow.
Little children today.
Children today.
Really gonna suffer tomorrow.
Really suffer tomorrow.
Oh, what a shame.
A shame.
Such a bad way to
Such
live.
Such a bad way to live.
Who is to blame?
Who is to blame?
We can't stop
when
living.
We can't stop living. Oh, oh.
Live.
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 Live for life. But let's live, everybody.
Live life. For the
live life for the children, oh, for the children.
See,
let's
save the children. Let's save all the children.
Save the baby. Save the baby. And if you want the rest, you got them. Save the baby, all of the fear, you will save the baby, all of the children.
When it floors in it, it has doors with people's names like it's a theater. Bible, I'm a baby boy.
many years? I forgot to ask you. The other day, they got a courtroom in Dodgers Club, and the young boy, what's his name, went crazy and blew up the FBI building. What's his name? Mac Bay. Young boy went crazy. You know the funniest thing that bothered me about that thing was them to ask, is he crazy? After he killed 160 people, someone said, you think he's crazy? The fact that a bunch of psychiatrists, you know, Sigmund Freud, gathered in a room with degrees. You know what I'm saying? These guys had degrees. They went to school. They had great suits and stuff. You know that? That's their cases and hush puppies on. These niggas gathered in a room and said, you think it's crazy? Hell, a man blew up a building, killed women, children, rats, roaches, fowls, babies, everything. You think he might be crazy? You with me? Then they go into the courtroom under the sign in God we trust, and human beings, people who say they believe in the Bible, were saying, burn him, kill the boy, 27 years old, kill him, I want him dead. One woman had the audacity to admit her cluelessness, how dumb she was. On national television, everybody missed it. You know what she said? She said, I did not believe in the death penalty until he killed my loved one. Listen to what that meant. I did not believe in the death penalty until he killed my loved one. So everybody else's children and babies that were killed by serial killers and coups, it was okay. But the moment the angel of death knocks upon your door, you get a whole new policy on vigilantism. They turned the damn country into Thank you. I had everybody saying, kill the boy, kill the boy. Nobody said, cure the boy, cure the boy. Because if this boy went off because of what happened at Waco, then some other boy is going to go off. And what they're going to do is they're going to study the mistakes he made, do the same thing without the mistakes, because, hell, the boy was dumb. The boy was dumb. He's a nice kid, but he was dumb. He made mistakes. You don't go up FBI building and drive a car that breaks down on the highway unless you're kind of dumb. You can't be that bright. You blow up the FBI building, the Federal Bureau of Investigation, and your car breaks down on the highway. You made more money for the bombs than you did the car to get away from. That's like these hip-hops with their shoes untied and their pants down running from the police. How dumb can you be? But because of all of this, because the state, the world is king, because there's nothing that no one leader, no one church, no one person can stand up and do to stop it. Everybody said, God help us. Allah help us. Yahweh help us. Adonai help us. Somebody help us. And nature steps in to help. The problem is, you're looking for nature to be your God. You've been taught through your Bible or your Quran. And that's crap. Nature is stepping in. You know what you find in towns where white folks and black folks hated each other? They got to help each other prepare for the flood coming in. They all passing the sandbags together. When the houses are floating, they're sharing apartments with each other. Shelter, sharing food. If I see a white baby floating down the street because I'm black, I'm going to go like this, I'd be the devil. I'd become the devil immediately. You follow? Yeah. I'm supposed to help. And anybody who don't help another human being, that is the devil. I don't care what color you're going. You help? You understand what I mean?
leader speaks to free. Far too long you have stumbled in darkness searching for light. We have a man in our midst who can bring forth truth back beyond doubt, that can open the eyes and ears of those lost in darkness. As Saeed El-Imam Isa Hadi Amadi is that man, and the author of over 150 books of religious and scientific nature. As Saeed El-Imam Isa Hadi Amadi has brought forth this information straight from the scripture, so it cannot be denied. So we invite you to listen, to learn, from the true light featuring As Saeed El-Imam Isa Hadi Amadi.
نشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له. الحمد لله رب العالمين. الحمد لله الوالي الكريم. وصلى الله على أنبياء أجمعين والمسيح والمحسي والمجدد لنا المرسلين. Are we not the bearers of witness that nothing would exist if Allah didn't create it? And that He is alone and has no partner? And that all gratitude is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the sustainer of all the boundless universes. All gratitude is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the generous eternal friend. And send salutations of Allah on all of His prophets and His apostles. And on the Messiah, the anointed one. And on the Mahdi, the guide. And on the Mujaddid, the reformer, which was all sent from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We send greetings. And we send peace throughout the boundless universe to all. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh.
You are now listening to The True Light with As-Saeed El-Imam Isa El-Hadi Mahdi.
The more that I didn't understand was the jinn comes to the physical plane. The closer he comes to the physical plane, it says the more evil he generates. What does that mean in relation to the time we're in now?
I was speaking last night saying, I explained to them the devil had total control. It's a frightening situation. He has the world under control presently. It's not about Satan himself being here. He's taking leave. He's out of reach. He has to be baited again and brought back. You cannot totally eliminate him, ever. You follow that? Only Allah can do that. We can't. We can bind him like Solomon did and like Allah did through Job. But he is now out of reach because we here have given him the glory. You have given Satan his glory by worshiping his image, his likeness, and everything. You want to look like white people. You want to act like them. You've given him his glory, and he's in power. The master himself, as they call him, Azazel, the wicked devil, cursed to him, has no need to reside here. He's gone because you're doing a good enough job. The only way to get him is, if y'all would read Job chapter 1, you'll see how we have got to get the devil. Let's go on and see. Do you have the time to hear it?
Yeah.
There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. You're going to watch a plot, a plan by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because during the period of Job, the devil was rampant in the earth the way he is today. And this is why the Almighty set up the plot of Job. Nobody on this plane knows who wrote the book of Job. None of your scholars have been able to find out who wrote the book of Job. All right? Now, if so, we call him Ayub in Arabic. But let me read on. This Job person and his story was a whole plot to trap the devil. And let me show you how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did it. There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. And that man was perfect and upright and one that feared the Almighty and eschewed the devil. You understand about the man's nature now? This man Job was a righteous man and he feared the creator of the heavens and earth. And the devil couldn't touch him. The devil couldn't get him. Okay? That's cure the devil. That's what it means. They avoid the devil. Number two. And there were born unto him seven sons and three daughters. You see the perfect number seven? His substance also was 7,000 sheep and 3,000 camels, and 500 yoke and oxen, and 500 she-asses, and a very great household, so that this man was the greatest of all men in the East. You see what they're saying about him? He was wealthy. He was a happy father. And he was a righteous man who feared the Almighty, and the devil could not get next to him. This is a bait for the devil being set. You understand? How many people in that room can claim that prosperity? Total comfort and convenience, your family's healthy, your kids are there, you have all the wealth you need, and you fear the Almighty, worshiping him day and night. And the devil never tempts you, can't get you. You see? Number four. And his sons went and feasted in their houses, every one his day, and sent and called for their three sisters to eat and to drink with them. Festivity. And it was so. When the days of their feasting were gone about, that Job sent and sanctified them, and rose up early in the morning and offered a burnt offering according to the number of them all. For Job said, it may be that my sons have sinned and cursed the Almighty in their hearts. Thus did Job continually. Not only did he was he righteous and prayed for himself, but according to Judaic tradition, a sacrifice against sin, he made sure that in case anybody in his house did wrong, he was up every day to worship the Lord and have sacrificed for his children, to keep that house pure, unadulterated in any way. You understand? Let's go on. Now there was a day to hear the plot being set. Now there was a day when the son of the Creator, meaning the angels, came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also amongst them. Notice he only came amongst them this time. He's not testifying nothing or proclaiming nothing. Now, how do you know these sons of God are angels? Because Lucifer was an angel before he fell from grace, right? So he was amidst of them comfortably as an angel when he was called before the throne of the Most High. Keep up with the plot now. Number seven is the most important number. And the Lord said unto Satan, whence comest thou? Where did you come from? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it. The devil was boasting about what he was doing in the world. He told the Almighty, I just came from walking to and fro in the earth, and up and down doing my thing, he said. That's the devil that was talking about what he's doing. Now what does the Almighty say? And the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant, Job? See how he's setting for the plot? You don't catch the plot yet, but watch. The devil just told the Almighty, Heavenly Father, that he was walking up down the earth doing his devilishment, and the Almighty pointed his finger at a righteous man and said, go get him. Have thou considered my servant, Job? That is how he set the plot. That there is none like him in the earth. So what did he tell the devil? All the other people you have are not worth Job. You want him because he's righteous. That's who you really want. These other people, they're just going popping and hanging out in the streets. You don't need them. They don't count. You already got them worshiping you. You need those people in that tabernacle over there. That's the ones you want to tempt. Forget those people in the streets. They'll follow you. They worship you. They believe in you. This is the Lord is telling them. That there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and eschews the devil. You see it again? He repeated it again. That there is a guy that you want, because he eschews you. He avoids you. You can't get him. Watch what happens in 9. Then Satan answered the Lord and said, does Job fear God for naught? Doesn't he have a reason why he fears you? Because the devil tends to believe that everything is done through bargain and exchange. That's how he works, to bargain and exchange. And this is what people do to each other. They don't want to do nothing for you for nothing. That's why I said y'all got to live more by giving, stop living by taking. Everybody does something, the first thing you say if someone helps you, there must be a reason why you're doing this. You wouldn't be helping me for nothing. Ain't that how people think? That's the devil's thinking. The devil turned to the Almighty and said, in number 9, then Satan answered the Lord and said, does Job fear God for naught? Doesn't he have a reason why he fears you, God? 10. Has not thou made a hedge about him and about his house and about all that he has on every side? Don't you got a covenant, something protecting him? Isn't he in your shield? Thou hast blessed the work of his hand. That means you made him very rich because he worked for it. He didn't just come by it. Worked by the sweat of your brow. He worked for it with his hand. And his sustenance is increased in the land. Because he went out and worked, the sustenance is increased. He has a lot. You protect him. That's why he fears you. You gave him a lot of wealth. You made him this comfortable. You gave him all the things he has. But watch. 11. But put forth thine hand now and touch all that he has, and he will curse thee to thy face. Now the devil is baited. He just bit the hook. Because he put the Almighty to question. You see? The Almighty put forth a perfect man to take the devil's attention off the rest of the world. You understand that? And now the devil just bit the hook. He said, if you take away your guidance, he'll turn against you. Ain't that the question? Isn't that us again? As long as the light shines on you, the Quran says, you walk in it. But as soon as it gets dark, you thrust your fingers in your hair out of fear, and you turn away from Allah. You put your trust in other things. As long as things look good, I mean, you're smiling. As soon as things don't go your way, you curse the heavens, you damn God, and turn your way. When people are laying on hospital beds, they become the most religious people in the world. Oh, God, just hit me well. I'll be righteous. I'll do this. I'll do that. As soon as they're on their 2 feet and standing again, they forget all the promises, all the covenants. When their baby is ill and they stand over that baby crying and caressing it, oh God, please make my baby healthy again. I promise I'll do good. I'll do righteous. And when the baby's walking in, they're slapping the baby aside their head and forgot all about the covenant. So the devil has just bit the bait. But put forth thy hand now and touch all that he has. See that? The devil said, take away all the stuff he got, not him. Take it all away from him. And what will happen? And he will curse thee to thy face. Now that's the bait. The devil just bit the hook. In 12, the Lord says, and the Lord said unto Satan, behold, all that he hath is in your power. You see that? Only upon himself put not forth thine hand. See that? Now the Lord got the devil's full attention on one righteous man and give the world a chance to evolve into righteousness again. The importance of Job. Everybody always asks, what is the story and the importance of Job? Remember this question? Well, here's the answer. Job's story was a bait to trap the devil the way Solomon trapped him with his seal. Now, does the devil get trapped? Yes or no? Is the question. Don't get too happy. We go on. So Satan, now watch this. So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord. He left the heavens and came back to earth again. And there was a day when his sons and his daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house. And there came a messenger unto Job and said, the oxen were plowing and the asses feeding beside them. and the Sabians fell upon them and took them away. Yea, they have slain thy servants with the edge of a sword, and only I escaped to tell thee. Who is this talking? This is the devil talking. He caught Job and said, Job, because the Most High Almighty gave him power to touch Job's stuff. Right? Said, Job, the Sabians, I know who they are, came down and killed the servants and took your flock. And I escaped to let you know about it. He stopped to look at Job's face to see if Job would curse the Almighty like you would do when you get mad. Did he? Let's see what happened. I, he said, alone, escaped to tell thee. While he was yet speaking, there came another and said, the fire of God is fallen from heaven. Now he's going to blame me like that. And has burnt up the sheep and thy servants and consumed them. And I only am escaped alone to tell thee. The devil has come again. Another devil right in front of him. One of his helpers. To say, now God did it. The two reasons have changed. First of all, you see what's happening right here? Let's go again. While he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, the Chaldeans made out three bands and fell upon the camels and have carried them away, yea, and have slain the servants with the edge of a sword, and I only am escaped to tell thee. You see what happened? The devils are coming from all sides trying to shake Job. Again, 19. And behold, there came a great wind from the wilderness and smote the four corners of the house, and it fell upon the young men, and they are dead. And I only am escaped alone to tell thee. God, keep your fingers up. Then Job arose. Now the devil's happy. He's waiting to see a response to see what Job is going to do here. Then Job arose and went, took his mantle. He put his robe on and shaved his head and fell down upon the ground and worshipped. Job went and made Gussel, and went and made Raka to Allah. Fell on his face and he prayed. The devil now is totally baffled because Job did not respond the way he was supposed to. The way you would have. You would have ran to see about your flock and ran to check on your kids and ran in every different direction, yelling and screaming, oh God, what happened? What did I do? And weeping and wailing, lamenting and moaning and complaining. But did Job do that? No, because Job, like the beginning of the chapter said, was what? A perfect man. He was set there to set a trap for the devil. Let's go on and see what happened. And he said, naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In all this, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly, nor did he accuse God for it. Now watch God, the next chapter begins, too. Again, the devil just got hooked. You see that, right? Now here's what happens the next time. And again, there was